talking about prayer for a little while now, I'm going to move over here. Because then I'm not just turning my neck to one side. There we go. Oh, this is different. Hi. Okay. We've been talking about prayer for a little while in the evenings. We're gonna finish that with that tonight. And we're going to talk about, in my experience anyway, in my own prayers and in my own prayer life, I think what is the most neglected aspect of my own prayers is that, to be perfectly honest, I forget to say thank you. I don't make it my business to have my mind open to what it is that God is doing in my life and in the world around me. And until quite recently, I hadn't really made it my business to even remember the prayers that I had prayed before so that I could be cognizant of the fact that God may have actually answered them. And so our text for tonight is going to be Psalm 100, a psalm that gets pulled out every October in Canada and every November in the United States, the Psalm for Giving Thanks. And it's going to give us a little bit of a roadmap to think about what our thankfulness ought to look like, what thankfulness in prayer ought to look like. And we'll think as well a little bit about what thankfulness is, what it ought to be. So this is Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Our Father in heaven, we bless you as the one who has made us, as the one who has called us his own, as the one who reminds us that we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. We know that you are the Lord, that you alone are God. We give you thanks for the way that you have rescued us from our sin through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have given us a home where before we wandered aimlessly, ran away from you, that you have brought us home and called us yours. And so we pray that more and more that you would make our noise joyful when we pray to you, when we sing to you, when we gather and worship you. That as we serve you and follow you in this life, that it might be out of duty, but even more than that, that it would be done with joy, that it would be done with gladness, that we would happily come into your presence with singing and with joy because of who you are and what you've done for us. So open your word to us tonight. Speak into our hearts so that our hearts would overflow with gratitude and gratefulness for the simple fact that we are yours. When we see all the ways that you bless us and provide for us each and every day. We pray that through our thankfulness in prayer and in song and in worship, that you would truly be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things that we've said a number of times over and over in the evenings, as we've talked about prayer, is the benefit of regular prayer, of making it part of the rhythm of our lives. That there is something, it's not that it's a law that needs to be kept, but there is something wise, something needful inside of us to pray each and every day, to be in God's Word each and every day. And as we come to the topic of thankfulness, one of the great benefits of regular prayer is that it makes it easier to see when and where God answers prayer. And how can we be encouraged to give thanks to God or be encouraged to continue praying without this reminder, this regular reminder that when we pray to the Lord, He does actually answer, not always in the way that we want, not always in the way that we ask or expect, but He does answer. And when that becomes our rhythm and our pattern, and we begin to be able to see where it is that God has answered our prayers, it becomes easier and easier to give thanks. When I was growing up in the church, the way that I was taught to pray, and we've talked about this a couple times now, is to follow that acrostic ACTS, right? A-C-T-S. Adoration, you worship God, praise God for who He is. Confession, you confess your sin. T is thanksgiving, and S is supplication, a fancy way of saying you ask Him for the things that you want. You bring your desires and hopes and fears to Him as one of His children. For me, the T is the easiest one to skip over. It's easy to pray adoration, especially if you're praying through the Bible, and especially if you're using Psalms as a prayer guide, because the worship of God, of adoring Him for who He is replete throughout the Psalms. It's right here in the Psalm that we read tonight, right? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Come into His presence with singing. Know that He is the Lord, that He is God. He made us and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. There it is. It's a great way to start a prayer. And confession is easy because I sin all the time. And supplication is easy too because I know the things that I want to ask God for and I know the things that I'm worried about. Thanksgiving is hard. Because I believe anyway that Thanksgiving takes a certain amount of paying attention, and I don't like to pay attention. It's easier not to. But if we fall into this rhythm of praying for things, and maybe even this was a big thing for me was several years ago I listened to John Smed, former pastor at Grace Vancouver Church out in Vancouver, speak and teach and preach about prayer, and he talked about this practice that he has of actually keeping notes of the things that he prays for, or maybe has things that he'll set out that he wants to pray for through the week and sort of have them written down for different days of the week, and in some way or another he has a record of all the different things that he's prayed for and all the different people that he's prayed for, and it makes it so much easier to recognize when God actually answers some of the many things that you have prayed for. And when you begin to see that happening, you can begin to say, thank you, I prayed for this, I see you've done this, thank you. I prayed about this fear of mine and this is what happened, thank you. And what the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is that this act of giving thanks to God itself glorifies God. That simply saying thank you to God for the way that He has provided is an act of glory for God. It's a way to worship Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul says here that as God's grace extends to more and more people, as more and more people come to believe in Him, One of the effects of that is that it increases thanksgiving, because there are more and more people who know God for who he is, who recognize his work in their lives and in the world around them, and so give him thanks. And Paul says that thanksgiving is to the glory of God. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And so as we want to give God glory by giving him thanks for what he's done for us, Psalm 100 gives us at least the beginning of a blueprint of what thanksgiving looks like. Verse 3 begins by recognizing God's power and his provision for his people. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It begins with this declaration, know that the Lord, know that Yahweh, he is God. He is the one who alone rules all things. He is the one who set the world here, set it in motion, gives us the laws by which it is governed and upholds it and provides for it each and every day. Recognizes God's power and his provision. He made us and we are his. He gave us life. He redeemed our lives through his Son. He gives us a place to belong. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He gives us our identity. This is who we are. It's he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And as I... Gosh, all you need to do is listen to the news just a little bit today. And you hear that that word identity is a buzzword. It is everywhere. And we are a culture of people searching for an identity and lacking one that comes to us from our Maker, or at least ignoring the one that comes to us from our Maker. We are quite happy to create our own, to find some other place where we belong, to decide for ourselves who I am and why I am here and what my purpose is. And all of that confusion, all of that searching for an identity, all of that creation of a false one or an alternative one is because we do not begin with this truth. We have suppressed it or set it aside. That the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. And if we believe in him, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's who we are. That's why we're here. That's what we're here for. That's what our purpose is to be his and to live the way that he made us to live. So thanksgiving needs to begin with recognizing God's power and his provision, who he is, what he's done, and what he has done for us. And the response to that is joy and service, the psalm says. Verses 1 and 2 and 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. There are several sort of responses that the psalm gives us here to this recognition of who God is and what he does. It talks about worship, right? Making a joyful noise to the Lord, coming into his presence with singing, entering through his gates, coming into his courts. That's all sort of temple imagery of coming into God's presence to worship. Both individually on our own, praying by ourselves, singing on our own, reading the scriptures on our own, and corporately gathering together with his people, the other sheep of his pasture, to sing together, to make a joyful noise together. He also says that serving the Lord, believing him, following him, obeying him is is another proper response to this realization of who God is. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. And the final exhortation in the second half of verse 4 there is simply, give thanks to him and bless his name. And the simplest way that we can do that is when we pray. It's the easiest one. It's the one that's right in front of us and available to us every single day, is to be mindful of what it is that God has done and then to say thank you. And I am convinced that if this becomes our habit, that one, it is deeply glorifying to God. In a little article that he wrote about thankfulness, John Piper says this: genuine thankfulness is an act of the heart's affections, not an act of the lips' muscles. It's not willed, but awakened. It's not a decision of the will, but a reflex of the heart. It happens to us. We become aware of goodwill toward us, and either we feel gratitude or we are ungrateful. He goes on and says, so the sacrifice of thanksgiving that glorifies God is the offering of contrite and broken-hearted thankfulness for undeserved mercies. This makes God look glorious. It glorifies him. Not only is it glorifying to God, but I would suggest that it gives even more glory to God by tuning our hearts, tuning our minds, and even our emotions to see God at work in the world around us where perhaps we didn't before. That it awakens within us a willingness to see him and his work, not even just in miraculous answers to prayer, not even just in the big, what we sort of North American Christians sometimes call God moments of life, right? But even in the mundane, even in the everyday, when we were at Providence Renewal Center yesterday, there was a quote, I can't remember who it was from, Wadia can remind you after I'm done, and I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember it word for word, but it went something like this: before every sunrise, Providence rises first. Is that right? It was to that effect anyway, right? Okay. The idea being that even each day starting anew, even waking up in the morning, arising from your slumber and wiping the sleep out of your eyes, even the sun coming up in the morning is an act of God's provision. It's something for which we can say thank you. One of my favorite musicians, his name is Andrew Peterson, wrote an album a few years ago called Light for the Lost Boy. My favorite song on it is called Don't You Want to Thank Someone? And it's this exercise throughout the song. It's beautiful poetry that begins simply by recognizing the mercies of a new day beginning, of winter turning into spring and summer, which is something that I am thankful for every single year in Edmonton. And building to thankfulness for redemption from sin through Jesus Christ and the promise of the new heavens and new earth. But the song begins very simply recognizing these mundane and yet constant everyday mercies that God shows us. Can't you feel it in your bones that something isn't right here? Something that you've always known, but you don't know why. Because every time the sun goes down, we face another night here waiting for the world to spin around just to survive. But when you see the morning sun burning through a silver mist, don't you want to thank someone for this? Have you ever wondered why, in spite of all that's wrong here, there's still so much that goes so right and beauty abounds? Because sometimes when you walk outside, the air is full of song here. The thunder rolls and the baby sighs and the rain comes down. And when you see the spring has come and it warms you like a mother's kiss, don't you want to thank someone for this? And we have that opportunity every single day to come to the Lord to recognize his mercies each and every day, his big providences and his small ones, to recognize that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture, and so to give thanks to him and bless his name. And so let our prayers be full of faith, worshiping the Lord for who he is, confessing our sins, believing that he does love to forgive through his Son, Jesus Christ, to bring all of our cares and needs and fears to him, knowing that we come to a loving Father who wants to hear the worries and the cares of his children, and to come giving thanks to God because it brings glory to him, because it reorients our hearts to see him at work in the world around us and in our own lives, and because it's what he's due as the ultimate provider for each of us. It brings him glory for us to say thank you. Let's pray. Our Father, give us thankful hearts. Give us hearts ready and willing and desiring to see your mercies everywhere, to see your hand in everything that happens to us and in the world around us. And let us return thanks to you. It's your right as our maker. It brings you glory. Give us hearts full of thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.